Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Yesterday, we started a message I've entitled The Blessings of Stability, and we were looking at what the Lord considers important. And one of the most beautiful characteristics of Jesus, as John saw him on the white horse in Revelation, is that he, on his thigh was written, faithful and true. And certainly that is the very nature of our God. He's totally faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. He's faithful to who he is. And he, of course, is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we stand before the Lord, one of the greatest commendations we can hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so to be faithful means to be steadfast, not wavering, changeable, to be constant, steady, and true. These are the aspects of God's character. God does not ever change his character. He may change his mind, but he is always the unchanging, eternal, almighty God. And yesterday, as we brought the broadcast to a close, we were looking at some scriptures which warn against instability. Someone who is unstable is not firm or fixed or constant, wavering in purpose or intent, and also characterized by an inability to control the emotions. And I had shared, the last scripture I shared was Ephesians 4:14, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, referencing false teachers and prophets, which will increase at closer and closer as we get to the end. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. So from this passage, as well as others, instability is a sign of immaturity. Just like a child, we're to put away childish things. The child can only function as it grows according to the level of its growth. For example, a toddler can do one thing. A child in elementary school has learned greater responsibilities and understands authority perhaps more clearly. So there is a process that God does in our lives spiritually. We're tutored and trained by the Holy Spirit, if you will. And just like a natural parent, there are guidelines, there are disciplines that need to be learned. That's true of our growth in the Lord. Another passage found in Hebrews 13 and 9 says, be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. The basis of our character, the basis of our Christian life, what we are expected to do before God, the things that we should not do, are clearly outlined in Scripture. Beloved, bottom line, it doesn't matter what denomination, the bottom line of Christianity is not which church you belong to, but how faithful are you to the Word of God. That is the standard, the everlasting standard. God's Word, His Word is eternal. His Word is established in heaven. His principles will never fade away or be irrelevant. They are the very nature of God, His will for mankind, for the universe. He's the creator. He spoke the worlds into existence. And so he certainly has the right to define all creation. What it's just like in the natural world, there are principles. I don't care what you do, how you choose to defy it or deny it, gravity will always be in existence. I don't know if God will change that, but at this point in time, you will not defy gravity. If you think you're going to step off a building and fly, you will be sadly mistaken in a very detrimental way. And then also another scripture, 2 Peter 2:14, he's talking about them that walk after the flesh in the lust and in uncleanness. They despise governments. What he says is they have eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. They beguiling unstable souls, cursed children. And basically, if we are unstable, what is the danger? We can fall prey to the wicked who are like that. And let's go yet another scripture, Revelation 2 and 4, the last I'll share with you on this. Jesus is speaking. John is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and the Lord gives him a message to give to the seven churches. And to the church at Ephesus, he says, he always tries to give a commendation to those who are doing the things that are good. And of course, we should always look for the best in people, isn't that right? But where there's discipline needed, then the Lord certainly above all has the right to impose it. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And so we are obviously to keep our word. That's why, God's word is so important. Of all the things, God always keeps his word. And that's why scripture addresses us that when we give our word, we are to, in every possible way, fulfill that word. Now, there are times we cannot do that. We are not only are we fallible, but things happen in our lives that we don't have control over. There may be instances where we simply cannot fulfill our word, but when there's opportunity and freedom, we are to be like the Lord in that if we say we're going to do something, then we should do it. Amen. All right, well, let's move on and go to scripture. We're going to see some very important lessons that are illustrated in the lives of Jacob's children. Remember, from Jacob, his name was, he was Israel, and the 12 children that were born to him were the tribes of Israel. And so we're going to start looking at some of his offspring, if you will, and learn some lessons. And there are some very important lessons to be learned in the life of Jacob's firstborn son. And his name was Reuben. And if you will, as we share the scripture, I would like to suggest to you that Reuben is a type of carnal Christian. Okay, in other words, one that's not walking in the Spirit, but is thrown about with every wind of doctrine, if you will, and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, basically letting their will, their emotions, whenever they are so disposed, to be in opposition, to be contrary to the will of God, as is seen in the Word of God. So what do we know about Reuben, and what do we know about the historical parameters, if you will, at that point in time? The firstborn in ancient times was to inherit a double portion of the father's estate. And so the firstborn was a child of great hope. The firstborn in scripture is referred to as, quote, the beginning of man's strength. And Reuben had many excellent gifts, but also he had besetting sins, one primarily being that of instability. And so allow me to read to you some passages of scripture found in Genesis, the 49th chapter. And here, well, the very end of 48, Israel said to Joseph, "I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and bow." So basically, he knew that God was preparing to take him home. And in verse 1 of chapter 49, he called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." So what he was doing And that, of course, was always the case in that culture, that before a father passed away, if he knew he was dying, that there was a proclamation over the children, his sons. And in this case, he called his sons together and proclaimed prophetic descriptions over each of them. And so this is what he said to Reuben, found in Genesis 49, verses 3 and 4. And of course, he starts with the firstborn. And, you know, whenever I've read this, I always felt a grief. He says, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and power. In other words, thou, my strength and head of my children, my might and first fruits of my vigor, exceeding in rank and exceeding in honor." He was the firstborn. Thine was the privilege and thine was the right to rule. He was the firstborn of Jacob. But then it's so sad. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." Goodness. "Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." Those are the two verses assigned to Reuben. And of course, there are two charges, if you will, accusations. One, adultery, which we're going to be looking at, but also the first one was his instability. He said, "You are unstable as water." Why did he make that comparison? Water is very unstable. It's a marvelous substance. It can freeze. It can evaporate as mist. It can flow as water, which is a life source for not only man, but all the animal kingdom and all the natural world that God has created, including plants. At any rate, I must bring this broadcast to a close, and we'll continue on tomorrow. I hope you are as intrigued as I have been as I've gone over these scriptures. Thank you for your prayer support and for tuning in tomorrow at the same time. If any time you miss a broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. Click on the broadcast, and they are archived there for your convenience. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.